This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together. Those of you who are worshiping in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream, I'm glad to be with you and know that the Spirit of Christ is connecting us and inspiring us throughout this time of worship together. I would invite everyone present to register your attendance. If you're in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you would sign in and let us know that you were here. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can see in the chat or on the screen. And if you'll click on that and register and let us know who's worshiping with you this morning, that will help us to know who all is present among us. If you are in the sanctuary, there's a QR code, I think. Yes. There's a QR code printed in the bulletin that will give you access to all of the digital resources. If you want to make an offering digitally or share a prayer request online, you can do that by clicking on that QR code. As many of you know, we had an announcement on Friday about our COVID protocols here at the church. Given new guidelines from the CDC this week, we consulted with our COVID task force and came to the decision that our wisest choice would be to continue to wear masks when we are in public spaces. So we are so grateful for all of you and your willingness to roll with it and do what needs to be done for the sake of everyone's health. We say that when you are in a Sunday school classroom, if you're in a committee meeting or with a small group and all of you are vaccinated, you can choose to take your masks off in that space if you would like. But when we're in the sanctuary and hallways and preschool areas, we do ask that everyone remain masks. And as always, thank you so much for your spirit in doing that. As part of those changes, we are also going back a little bit to the way we were doing communion a few months ago. We have these communion packets, and if you don't have one, they're out in the narthex and in Reed Hall, and if you can get one of those and have that ready for when we share communion together, we'll be staying in our pews for that moment of the sacrament. Sunday school today, we would invite all youth and adults to join us for our Project Thrive conversation, which is up in the four-story theater. Some of the Sunday school classes will be meeting in their classrooms to hear the presentation. And this will be the second installment of our conversations in the Project Thrive process, where we learn about who we are as a congregation, what are some of our demographics today, and then who is our community now? What have we learned about who's living around us? So we hope you will join us. It will also be live streamed if you would like to join us that way. Our children's Sunday school will meet in the gymnasium today instead of outside because apparently it's very wet out there. We have a Zoom call this Wednesday night at 6:30 about children's choirs. So if you are a parent of a child K through 6 and want to know more about the children's choir plans for the summer, you can contact Matt Phelps to get that Zoom link. It may also be going out in Maggie's weekly newsletter. And finally, just one more thing for our service today. Instead of our regular affirmation of faith, which is printed in our bulletin, we'll be sharing together in the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. And it's found on page 607 in the hymnal. And Maggie, who will be our liturgist at that moment, will guide you in that. But I wanted to let you know there is a change in the bulletin. That covenant prayer invites us to turn all that we are and all that we have over to God. And so let us do just that as we continue in this spirit of worship.
bread of life has come among us. It is none other than Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Come then to Christ, who feeds us with his very life. When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming words out of our wordless sighs, and God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What signs are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I would like to invite any children who are here this morning to join me down here and to choose one of our little carpet circles to sit on. And if you're worshiping with us from home, just move a little bit closer to your screens. Good morning. It's so good to see you all. You get to pick the penguin. The mouse is over here. If you remember last week, the mouse needs special attention today. Thank you, Grayson. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to see you. You know, sometimes our parents say no. Have your parents ever said no to you? I remember one time my brother and I talked together and we decided we wanted to have ice cream for supper. And so we went to our mom and dad and said, "Can we have ice cream for supper?" And they said no. Maybe once, just once, ice cream for supper. Sometimes we want things that aren't really very good for us. I mean, if we had ice cream for supper every night, that wouldn't be good for our tummies, would it? Our parents want to do what's best for us because they love us. And sometimes that means saying no. So next time, maybe your mom or your dad says no, maybe we could hear that as no, because I love you and I want what's best for you. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we don't always get what we want, and we don't always know what's best for us, but we do know that you love us. Help us to understand that sometimes when our parents or teachers or friends say no, it's because they love us and they want what's best for us. Thank you so much for loving us and wanting what's best for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you will take these little carpet circles and put them way down there on the floor, that will be a big help. I'll get us started. Watch this. Oh, thank you. You found the perfect spot. You go right ahead. I'll come around this side. Thank you all so much. It has taken me a while in my life to learn that sometimes the most loving thing we can do is to say no. I mean, I grew up in the South. I grew up as a woman in the South, and I thought that you were always supposed to be nice and polite, and when somebody asks you for something, you should say yes. And to say no is rude or not being thoughtful. But as life has gone on, as I've grown up and matured, as I've become a parent, I've learned that sometimes, because you love someone, because you want what is best for someone, the best answer might be no. For example, if I have a friend who's trying to quit smoking and they ask me for a cigarette, I'm going to say no, because I want to support them in their effort to try and quit. Or let's say, for example, I'm trying to stop using my phone after dinner at night. And so I give it to my husband and I say, "Hide my phone from me. I'm going to read a book." If after 15 minutes I come and say, "Can I have my phone? I just want to check." I hope he says no, because that means he loves me and he wants what's best for me. But it's been hard as a Christian to think of ways and examples that Jesus said no. So often when we see Jesus in the Gospels, he's responding to whatever need is in front of him. People interrupt him all the time. His plans are changed because of what people are asking and demanding of him. And most often he's ready to feed them, to heal them, to respond to them. Now he does from time to time withdraw and go away for prayer by himself. He draws that boundary regularly in the Gospels. But as I've searched the Gospels, I have found this one example that we just heard as one of the clearest examples of Jesus looking at the crowd and saying no. Let's remember what happened. If you were here last week, you know that last week, this week, and next week, we're walking through the sixth chapter of John. In the first part of the story, which we heard last week, Jesus and his disciples are approached by a throng of thousands of people. And Jesus' initial response is, how are we going to take care of these people? He recognizes their physical needs. They're going to be hungry. And so he takes this little lunch offered to him by a little boy. He blesses it and he shares it. And he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. A sign that God does care for our physical needs. The fact that Jesus healed as such an important part of his ministry shows that he cares about human bodies and human suffering, and he wants to alleviate our suffering and bring healing into the world. After that miracle, Jesus moves on with his disciples. They cross over to another part of Galilee, and lo and behold, the crowd comes back. They follow Jesus, and they ask for more bread. Wow, Jesus, that was really good bread. That was an incredible miracle. We're hungry again. Our bellies are empty. Can we have some more of that bread? Can you provide us that bread always? And Jesus doesn't say it in so many words, but he basically says, no, that's not why I'm here. And he doesn't give them what they're asking for because he loves them. Because he wants more for them. He wants them to know that a relationship with God through him is not just about being a vending machine and giving them whatever they want and meeting the needs of their bellies only. It is about a living, loving relationship that will feed them and sustain them for the rest of their lives and into eternity. The miracle of the loaves was a sign of God's abundance and God's power and God's love. And it was an invitation into a relationship with that God. The crowd, at least at the first part of this story, seems only interested in a transaction with Jesus. Give us more bread. Whereas Jesus is inviting them into a relationship. Now, it's easy for me, at least, to read this sixth chapter of John as someone in the 21st century who knows the rest of the story and all that will develop throughout the rest of the gospel, and to judge them for being so short-sighted. It happens throughout John's gospel. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, and Nicodemus doesn't get it. He's thinking about physical birth. Or Jesus is talking to the woman at the well about living water and what he's offering. And initially, she can only think about water that fills the bucket that she comes with to the well. And here we have this crowd that's only interested in getting their bellies filled, where right in front of them is the Son of God offering himself, saying to them, I am the bread of life. Why don't they get it? But then I realize it's in me too. It's human nature. It's part of our brokenness that we focus so much on the immediate needs, that we often look to God to solve our problems. We love God because what God can do for us. I felt it this week a little bit as the news of the new data and the understanding of this Delta variant and realizing that we were going to go back to wearing masks and the disappointment and grief and frustration. It's been a hard thing to process. And initially in my prayers, I just wanted to say to God, please fix this. If you are God, can you not take away this pandemic? And I believe God hears those kinds of prayers. God, please heal my friend. God, please heal this relationship. God, please change this unjust policy in our community. God, please take away this pandemic. That is part of our conversation in prayer with God. I think God welcomes all of those feelings and those requests because they lead us into greater intimacy with God, to name those things before God. But I kept coming back to this episode between Jesus and the crowd and realizing that God is offering something even more than healing and feeding and helping. God is offering an abiding relationship that no matter what happens in the circumstances of our lives or our world, as God goes about God's healing and saving work in our lives, in our world, we can be grounded in this love that gives us a peace beyond our deepest understanding. So do you hear that difference between the transactional and the relational? That even as Jesus heals and saves and feeds, he is inviting people, follow me, come and see, believe in me, an invitation into a deeper loving relationship. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived and taught and wrote, was born almost 1,000 years ago, has a treatise that he wrote called On Loving God. And he talks about the maturing of our love for God. That our love begins with love of self for our own sake. That we look out for ourselves and those we love and we're looking to meet our own needs. And then as we mature in love, we love God for our own sake. We reach out to God for what God can do for us. We look to God and expect God to meet our needs. And the next stage, according to Bernard, is to love God for God's sake. To love God because of who God is. Our gracious, abundantly giving, generous, saving God. And there's even a stage beyond that, according to Bernard. And that is learning to love ourselves and others for God's sake. Because God loves us. And God loves the world. It's a journey, and it's not linear. But in this text, I hear the invitation. Believe in me, Jesus said. Follow me. Abide in me. And as the bread is broken today, may we hear that invitation and from the deepest place within ourselves say, yes.
Having heard the word, I invite you now to rise in body and spirit as we affirm our faith together this morning. As Carol mentioned earlier, we're using a different affirmation than the one that is indicated in your bulletin. We'll be using the covenant prayer in the Wesleyan tradition found on page 607 in your hymnals. It should also be on the screen for our live stream audience. Let us affirm our faith together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with us, the pastoral team will pray for them throughout the week. You can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in your the pew racks in front of you that you can put in the offering boxes on your way out. This morning we are celebrating with the DeVault family. Benjamin Brooks DeVault was born on July 21st to Mary Scott and Ben DeVault. He is welcomed also by his big sister, Cecilia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Bread of life. Like the people in this story, we are searching. We are searching for answers, for signs, for guidance, for help, for so many things. There is so much in this world that troubles us, personally and as a community. We give thanks that you meet us where we are, that you came down from heaven to live among us, that you invite us into loving relationship with you. We are grateful for your presence and for your provision. This world is hurting, Lord, and we are hurting. And out of the relationship of love we have with you, we are moved to pray for healing for ourselves and for our communities. We ask for justice in our world and for peace. We pray for an end to violence and an end to this pandemic. We ask that you would bless our leaders at every level of government, in our schools, in our churches, in our community groups with wisdom and discernment as they make choices for all of us. We pray for everyone to have access to housing, health care, food, support systems, education, and everything needed, not just to live, but to thrive. We pray that your love and comfort would be with those who are grieving. We pray for the scientists, doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers who care for others. And we pray for the sick, that they would feel your healing touch. We pray for our teachers, students, administrators, staff, and parents as they all prepare to go back to school. We lift all these things in your name, Lord, and ask that you would be with us and that you would show us how to serve and to help in each of these situations. And we know and give thanks that you will be with us always. In your name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or the chat. For those of you worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us give our gifts, tithes, offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, you remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. You provided manna to your people when they found themselves in the wilderness. You led them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He fed the multitudes on the mountainside and offered his very self to them. He offers himself to us and to all as the bread of life and promises that whoever comes to him will never hunger or thirst again. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on us gathered across the miles. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. As Jesus invites us to come together, let us pray the prayer he taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. This is our daily bread, and it is also the bread of life, broken, so that through it Christ might give life to us. And this is the cup of salvation poured out for all, that we might have life here and now and life eternally. Our table is set. I pray that each of you has your own communion set. If you do not, there are some available in the narthex and in Reed Hall. Just a word about communion. At this table, our host is Jesus Christ himself, and so everyone is welcome at this table. We have found that at times these are a little hard to open. So just a reminder, there's a clear layer on the top. When you open that, the wafer will be available to you, and then you can open the rest of it to get to the cup. We always have an opportunity to give a second mile gift that goes toward the missions of our congregation, and this month's communion offering goes toward our work with our partners at ODEEM in San Juan and San Pablo, Guatemala. We have a team right now. They're on the ground, and they're doing the work of Christ with the folks there in Guatemala. This money that we give will go to support their work in bringing quality health care to their community. They maintain two clinics and programs such as maternal health, diabetes, and adolescent health. So if you offer a gift today, know that it will be going to our friends and family in Christ in Guatemala. You can bring an offering at the end of the service to the offering plates or place them in the boxes in the narthex or give that gift online. Now, my friends, the table is set. Our host is Christ. May we receive the body and blood of Christ, broken and given for all of us. join me in giving thanks for the feast that we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Immediately after this service, I'll be making my way up to the four-story theater, so I'm afraid I won't be able to visit in Reed Hall with many of you, but I hope you'll make your way up there and participate in our Project Thrive conversation. But for those who, from this point, are going out into the world, and all of us who will be going out into the world later this morning, may the bread that has filled us this day be not only the bread that fills our stomachs, but the bread that fills our hearts and our souls. And may the love within us flow through us out into this world, that we might be healers and feeders and offerers of life. Amen.